Oh, yeah. Welcome to the Tom and Susie Show. What's up, Susie?
What's up?
Just chilling. What's going on?
Just hanging in.
You know what I want to talk about?
I bet you I can know what it is.
Yeah, I want to talk about what the hell is going on with this guy in Afghanistan right now.
I know. I read they paid the families already.
I mean, let's pull up this news story real quick. It says the United States has paid $50,000 in compensation for each Afghan killed in the shooting spree attributed to the U.S. soldier in southern Afghanistan. The families of the dead received money at the governor's office, said Kandahar Provincial Council member Agha Lali. I love these guys' names, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Same people were shooting.
Each wounded person received $11,000, Lali said.
Yeah, but $11,000 there, man, is like $1 million to some of those
people. Yeah, it depends on the family, though. Some of them are loaded. Some of them have more money than we do. Anyway, they were told the money came from the U.S. President Barack Obama. So he paid it out of his pocket or our government paid it? Come on.
No, we paid it. The tax dollar we're getting ready to file tomorrow morning is paying for it.
Yeah, that's some bullshit right there. This guy hasn't even been tried, much less found guilty of anything at this point yet. I mean, he's still innocent.
True.
You know, all right, we all know he did it, so he's got to get tried, go through his judicial process. You know, I don't know if they call it a military tribunal or if it's court-martial, whatever they're going to
call it. I call it an execution, but whatever.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen, unfortunately.
Which is sad, because once again, we trained this guy to be like this.
Going back to the story here, you know, they say the U.S. official confirmed the compensation has been paid, but declined to discuss, saying only that it reflected the devastating nature of the incident. The official, because of the sensitive nature of the subject. He declined to speak. Of course, they always decline to speak.
Yeah.
Because they don't want the truth to come out.
You can decline.
I'm going to decline. I'm going to decline to pay my taxes for the next 20 years to pay these fucking Afghans. You know, we're in there. They're shooting at us. One of our guys goes and caps a bunch of them. All right, so casualty of war, right?
True.
Yeah. So going back to this other story here, let's talk about this little black kid that was killed by this community service captain guy, whatever the hell you want to call him, George Zimmerman.
Yeah.
Trayvon. Everybody's into the Trayvon story. You know, interestingly enough, somebody posted on Facebook today a picture of this, picture of George Zimmerman 5 years ago and a picture of Trayvon 5 years ago. Then they posted current pictures of what they look like. If you look at the initial picture, and I'm not judging character, I'm not a racist, I'm not getting to this whole bullshitting thing, but I'm just telling you what I saw, okay? I saw a picture on Facebook, and it showed a picture of George Zimmerman and Trayvon 5 years ago. Then it showed current pictures of George Zimmerman and Trayvon. What a difference. The media is painting a picture here, to me, in my eyes, from what I see right now, the media is painting a picture that this was just some little innocent kid that does nothing wrong and got shot for no reason. Now, I'm not saying that Zimmerman's not guilty, because you brought up this point, Susan. The initial report was the police told him to stay in the car, right?
True.
Okay. So the police told him to stay in the car. He didn't stay in the car. He goes out and he chases this kid down. Some type of altercation ensues. We don't know what, but the kid winds up dead. The guy shot him.
Yeah.
All right. So now the Black Panthers, this is a supremacist group, okay? Black supremacy. And this is no secret. It says the members of the new Black Panther Party are offering a $10,000 reward for the capture of George Zimmerman. Let me stop right there for a second. They're offering a $10,000 reward for the award of a capture of the guy. The guy has not been proven guilty yet. All right. He's not even under arrest. I understand. We don't like what was going on with this whole case. It stinks to high heaven. I don't believe he was in the right at all by shooting this kid. I believe that he was big enough that he could have tackled the kid and held him there until the police got there and got it all sorted out. Did he have to shoot him? No. But at this point in time, he is not under arrest. He's not being charged at anything as of right now. And this black supremacist group's going to start with some bullshit like they're going to tackle this guy and hold him until for a $10,000 reward. That's called kidnapping where I come from.
True.
That's all you're going to say is true. Help me out here. I'm stuck.
What do you want me to say?
I want you to comment on this. This is some bullshit right here.
Well, tell me, everybody knows this bullshit. It's not the white people doing this. It's the Black Panthers doing this.
Right, but they got all these million hoodie marches and stuff. I mean, this is like all black shit all over again. And again, I'm not racist. Why do we have to keep going and giving the blacks everything like they owe, we owe them something?
But do you remember what happened in California?
With Rodney King?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The same shit is gonna happen. What about the big football player?
Time out a second. Rodney King deserved the fucking beating. Did he deserve the beating that he got? No, but he deserved the fucking beating.
Oh, yeah. Because he ended up committing another crime right after that.
And what's all these patterns that you see? The patterns are this. People are videotaping shit, and then it's becoming public, and then people are getting prosecuted.
Yeah.
If people would stop videotaping shit, nobody would be under arrest anymore. Because you know
what?
We have to self-govern ourselves sometimes. Well, sometimes people need a fucking beat down. Yeah. There's a lot of people I love to give a beat down to.
But Tommy, can I be honest with you? What I've heard so far, this howdy doody security guard.
He's not even a security guard. He's a captain of a community watch.
Whatever
security
he is.
Guard, at least he gets paid to do his job.
Yeah. Walking around a community with a gun? Come on. attacks, how old is this, 15, 16 year old?
Something like
with
that.
With Skittles and a drink? Wow, he's a badass motherfucker.
All right, better
now he's got the Black Panthers on his ass. I feel sorry for him. He better, even if he wins his trial, he better move the fuck out of the country.
Well, let me just say something real quick. I don't know all the specifics of the case. No,
none of us
do. If we did, this wouldn't be a topic
exactly,
of conversation right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
All I'm saying is the Black Panthers, and I'll call them out right now, they have no fucking right whatsoever to put a $10,000 bounty on this guy's head. They can call for the sheriff to resign, which he did.
Yeah.
They can call for the police to do an investigation. The feds are even involved now. They're going to get to the bottom of this. They're going to either arrest
the guy.
Why did
the sheriff resign?
Because he apparently didn't handle it adequately enough, and he felt that it was his duty to resign because he fucked up.
He told the kid, don't move.
Well, he didn't tell him. The other sheriff.
Well, yeah, but the person underneath him told him. Why is he showing guilt? He just showed, like, he just sunk that guy.
Because there's a lot of due process that's involved in a shooting, whether you're in the right or not. Somebody breaks in our house right now, you shoot him, chances are you're going to be under arrest. They're going to question you.
You know what? I would smile all the way.
Right. The whole point is, and I understand this, is why the community leaders down there are mad, is because they are not stopping this guy. They're not asking him questions, and I understand the frustration and everything, but it does not give the right for a group of black supremacists called the Black Panthers to kidnap somebody and offer a $10,000 bounty for him.
Oh, come on, Tommy. Tell me you don't miss the big riots and shit. They were
I like watching it on TV. It's entertaining.
Exactly. All right. So that's what we're going to see.
Right. And the other thing is, too, this guy's own father classified him as Latino. So he's not white. It's not a white versus black race shit again all over again with the Rodney King.
Now it's against the Latin people.
Hey, you know what? I don't know.
Yeah. I'm telling you right now, and as I told you early today, the Black Panthers do not want to fuck with the MS-13. Trust me. They are a nasty group, and they will go after them. So, you know what I mean? The Black Panthers are nothing to the MS-13.
I don't think the MS-13 even gives a shit what's going on, because they're used to killing people on a daily basis.
I know, but they are Latino, and they will stand up for their people.
Well, hopefully they'll stand up down here. I mean, I don't know what is going on with this case. I would like to see the guy arrested and questioned, because that's what everybody should go through, in my opinion. If somebody came in my house right now and I shot him, I would expect to be arrested. Fine, arrest me. Take me down to the station. I'll tell you what happened. This kid just walked away scot-free. That I don't agree with.
That's
but
a little weird. But you know what, Tom? A lot of weird shit happens in Florida.
Starting with the
boat. A woman kills her kid.
Oh, yeah.
And
the whole
found
case Anthony.
Yeah. That whole state is fucked up, man. Yeah. They really are.
But again, going back to this thing here, and I'm going to read this news report, and I don't even know where the hell it's from. The Palm Beach Post News. They're talking about the Black Panthers putting the bounty on this guy's head. He's not even guilty of anything yet. Technically, he probably is. We don't know for sure, so we can't say yes, he is. The bottom line is he has not been charged with anything. There's no reason for anybody to put a bounty on this guy's head and say, hey, bring him in. We're going to hold him till the cops get here. If the cops want him, the cops know where he is. His lawyer was on NBC this morning. He knows where he is. They know where to get a hold of him. If they feel the right that they have to charge him, they will find him.
True. But the cops aren't going to hand him over to the Black Panthers.
No, no. As a matter of fact, everybody's afraid for this guy right now.
Well, I'm not afraid for him, but, you know, whatever.
The part that really floors me, though, is I understand every race wants to protect their race. And I'm fine with that. But I want to start protecting my Italian race. Because not because everybody thinks that because you're Italian, your name ends in a vowel, you're automatically mafia. That's not the case.
Really?
It's not. It's not.
Since when?
You know, we all have our ties with different organizations.
Tommy, the majority of Italians are related to some type of mafia family. You know that from way back when.
Okay, but we don't always want to talk about it, because the first thing the FBI wants to do is what FBI stands for. Forever bothering Italians.
Exactly.
And that's what they're going to do. They're going to constantly bother the Italians. Why don't the FBI get involved in this shit right now? They are, but they're not saying too much about it. But why don't they talk about this as much as they talk about us?
Because Italians are hotter.
Yeah, exactly.
We're more fun.
Apparently, this is coming from the Palm Beach Post or Palm Beach News. It says the Southern Poverty Law Center says the new Black Panther Party is a black separatist group founded in 1989 and is violently racist and anti-Semitic, and its leaders have encouraged violence against whites, Jews, and law enforcement officers.
Wow.
So, you know, we can't talk about the KKK. We can't talk about the mafia. We can't talk about the Jewish mafia. We can't talk about the Latinos. Who the fuck can we talk about anymore? Yeah. I don't even want to get involved in that shit right now. You know what really irritated me today was going to the gas pump.
Oh, Hell yeah.
What did we pay? $3.89? No, $3.95 a gallon.
Yeah, yeah.
And in most places, there's over $4. We were lucky to find it at $3.95.
Tommy, we need to take the bike more places because gas is jacking up.
Yeah, this is bullshit. And you know, somebody posted on Facebook the other day, Iraq charges us, or Iran, or these Middle Eastern countries, wherever the fuck we're getting our oil from, they're charging us $128 a barrel, okay? Because that's their primary export. Our primary export, the United States, sending to other countries, is like wheat. I think they pay like 30 cents a cent a pound or $1.27 a pound or whatever.
Well, it's just like Afghanistan, us giving the families $50,000 a piece, which they said that since the end of it, there's going to be more money. So,
but my point to this whole thing is, if we charged $128 for a pound of wheat, maybe they lower the fucking gas prices.
True.
Because it's $128 a barrel. That's fucking ridiculous.
That's insane.
We're paying $5 a gallon of gas in the next month or two. I see it. I see it coming.
Well.
And I'll be riding my motorcycle a lot more because it gets better gas mileage. So rain or shine, you better get your rain gear ready.
Yeehaw.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you about a garage sale we went to yesterday. It was in Clifton, my old area I used to live in, and there was major money there.
Clifton used to be like high society.
Very high. I mean, you had to wait for a house to come up for sale to buy in there. It's really fucking whacked.
Yeah.
Which my ex still lives there. I hope that house blows the fuck up. But anyways, we're in this house, and what a fucking dump.
I expected to walk in there and see all, like, top dollar.
Yeah, stuff. That's why we went over there. It was, you walk in the garage, the whole family's there blocking your way to even walk in. Then you walk in the garage, you can't even move. They got so much shit piled on everything. Then, this 16-year-old boy's following us around like we're going to steal some of their shit.
Can I tell you something? If I was going to steal something, I wouldn't steal from that shithole.
I got to be honest with you. The garage sales we went to yesterday sucked. They need to read 101 garage selling.
You know what really irritated me about that thing? Because when we walked in there, I'm expecting to see high dollar stuff because Clifton is a lot more expensive than Bristow where we were.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, Bristow's got a lot of nice areas, don't get me wrong. And we live in a beautiful townhouse, don't get me wrong. When you hear the word Clifton, you think you're walking into high society.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? That would be like in Long Island going to like Sag Harbor.
Okay, I don't know what that is, but
it's high society.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, Montauk, you know, Newport, not Newport Beach.
Clifton used to be the place to live. It was the elite place, the perfect school, the perfect home.
But we went there
kids.
Expecting to find somebody else's treasure, you know?
Yeah.
We have better shit than they had.
I wanted to give them some of our shit.
I know, we felt bad for
them. Oh, what about the piano? She goes, oh, we have a piano in the living room. Tom says, is it a baby grand? She goes, no, but I want one. No. Really?
She wanted one because I wanted one. That's how it works.
Yeah, she wanted to be a rock star, but there's no way.
Yeah, she was yuppified.
She needed to start by cleaning her fucking house. Let's start with that.
The funny thing was that kid kept following us around. What the fuck am I going to steal?
Every time I turn around, he was smiling. He was right in my face.
Oh, we have a lot more stuff in the back.
Yeah.
You know what the back was? The back was a covered deck, screen porch. It was nasty. It was like, it needed to be
power-washed. It was like your mom taking all her old kitchen shit and throwing it outside.
Yeah, and then charging $8 a piece.
Yeah! It was insane.
What about the first one we walked in? We walked in a house. It was a moving sale, sort of like an estate sale, where everything is marked. But nothing's marked with prices. It's marked with colors.
Colors,
so
yeah.
We're walking around trying to go, what color is green? What color is red? What color is pink? Wait a minute. How do we figure this out here?
And most of the stuff was sold.
Yeah.
All over it.
I know. And it had some real shit in there, you know.
Oh, huge shit.
I want to invite everybody to come to our house because we have a lot of stuff to sell and our shit's better than
this. Why don't we have like a fake garage sale? We'll invite people here for a garage and we'll put sold on everything in the house.
That would.
I think we should.
That'd be fun. That'd be a riot.
That'd be a blast.
Yeah. So what else you got
exactly.
for me? Tiger Woods won a golf tournament.
I know. Can you believe it? I guess her hitting in the head with the golf club, man, just, you know.
You know what I got to say? Tiger Woods is done.
He's
his
done.
Career's finished.
He's so dead man walking.
He's finished. You know, they try to bring him back. They're trying to revive his golf career and everything. But
he's gone.
Yeah. You know what his first mistake was? Not fucking around with one woman. Not fucking around with two women. 26 fucking women?
Yeah.
Really, dude?
And giving your number and so he was an idiot.
Just give out your cell phone number. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm married. I'm a high profile golfer. I'm going to give my phone number out to 26 hookers. Come on. All right, what else you got?
You know,
from?
But I idolize his wife. I really do. She did what I would have done.
Yeah, she did what every normal woman should do. Your old man cheats on you, crack him with a fucking golf club.
See, but I don't know what I'd crack you with. I'd have to run you over with your own motorcycle.
That would be fun.
Because I wreck every time I get on a bike. Oh, yeah, that'll be a good times. No, but I love that woman. I think she should be a rock star. I idolize her.
Yeah, more women should be like her.
Yeah. Clinton's wife. I mean, look at all the wives. Jackie Kennedy. I would do that. I would fucking, oh my God.
You know something? If Hillary would have hit Bill Clinton in the fucking head with a golf club, it would have changed history.
Oh, yeah. If she would have punched him in the balls in front of a national TV as president of the United States, I would have I would be voting for her today.
Yeah, she totally pushed out on
her. Oh, please. Here, honey, you want another box of cigars?
Yeah. Can I tell you something? Not only, Bill Clinton was definitely not the first.
Kennedy did it for years.
Clinton got caught. That's all.
Exactly. Roosevelt's wife was a lesbian, so it didn't matter.
How do you know?
Because that's what they say.
Who says?
Everybody.
And I just want to clarify something for my friend Myra. Betsy Ross is the one who sewed the flag. Susan B. Anthony was a women's rights activist, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I cleared that up. That has absolutely nothing to do with our conversation, but these were powerful women. I think you're a powerful woman.
Really?
Yeah. You know, this is something we've never talked about live on the air before, but we're going to talk about it tonight. You know what? Because this is the suckiest fucking month every year, March.
Huge, man. I am so welcome April coming up.
Yeah, not just because of the weather either.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, Susan lost her daughter 5 years ago?
Seven.
7 years ago, sorry. At age 16 to a suicide. And this is something we don't talk about a whole lot on the air and everything, but we're going to talk about it a little bit tonight. The reason that I want to bring this up is because her birthday just passed.
Yeah.
And
she would have been 23 last week.
And her
suicide date was 2 days later.
Yeah.
So it was a tough week, man. It was. Thank God I had you, Tommy. It's always a tough week. When people say it'll get better, time will make it better. I want to punch those people in the face. It never gets better. It haunts you the rest of your life.
How does someone tell me ever things are going to get better? You lost your child. There's nothing worse to a parent in losing a child.
And I've always been open. I've always talked about it. You know what I mean? It's not a shameful thing to me. I lost my child. It was the biggest tragedy a family could ever have. I lost her. So how do I deal with it? I have faith in God, and I'm open about it. I can crawl on a bottle of pills. What's this going to do for me? Nothing.
Yeah. You know? I'm here to say live, you know, you are definitely the strongest woman I've ever met in my life.
Oh, bullshit.
No,
Tommy.
You are. You know, we go through our trials and tribulations, and I go through it with you. I've never met Nicole, but I feel like I've known her all my life. I feel like she was part of me because she's part of you.
She was an amazing girl. Trust me. You know, I talk about a lot of her bipolar and stuff, but the other part, that girl could light up a room when she walked in. Everybody was drawn to her. She was just so strong, and she had a heart. You would say, Nicole, I like that necklace. She would take it off and give it to you.
Really?
Very generous. She was an amazing person.
What about the time you guys went to Italy with the whole priest thing?
Oh, yeah. We were at the Vatican, and there was like a big, where they're anointing a saint, and so there must have been thousands of priests in the middle of the Vatican. And my daughter says, Mommy, look, there's our priest from the church. And I was like, Nicole, you're seeing things. There's so many priests out here. All of a sudden, the priest came up to Nicole, and he grabbed her, and he picked her up, and he was hugging her. I was like, oh, my God.
And it was a priest from your church back here in the United States.
From our church, he gave her her first communion.
Unbelievable.
What are the chances of that happening? When I'm talking thousands of priests in a foreign country, you couldn't identify anybody. He identified her, and she identified him.
Well, she's definitely an
angel. This is even weirder. When she passed away that night, I woke up, I panicked, I was suicidal. We called the church. The priest came over in the middle of the night.
Is this the same priest?
The same priest.
You're kidding.
He was floored. He sat down on my bed, shaking his head, holding his heart. He's like, oh, dear God, I know Nicole. He didn't know about it until he got into the house.
Wow.
What child? Because when she committed suicide, the church heard about it. I don't know how they heard about it. They knew that there was a Catholic girl that committed suicide. All of them in church were praying that night. So it's like he was waiting when I called him at 4 o'clock in the morning. It was weird. It was just, the whole thing was just weird.
Well, what happened with that whole thing when you told him that about Nicole committing suicide and you were worried about her not going to heaven and all that? What did he say to you?
Well, to be honest with you, I when that happens to you, you're panicking your heart. You don't want to believe it happened. You don't know what to do with yourself. You know, you've been a mother for 16 years, and all of a sudden it's vanished off the earth. What's your job? what do you do the next morning, you know? And I was telling the priest this, and being Catholic, we were always told, you kill yourself, you go to hell. I did not want her going to hell by herself, so I was going to take my own life that night, and I told the priest. And he was like, whoa, wait a minute, you can't. And he goes, let me just tell you a little story. My best friend, a priest, went out in the field, gave himself his last rites, and shot himself. He's not going to heaven. He was not mentally ill, Susan. Your daughter was bipolar, had a lot of mental issues, you know what I mean? She didn't mean to do this. And he says, I know when she hung herself, she grabbed a hold of the rope and said, Lord, please forgive me. So if you kill yourself, you're going to go to hell and your daughter's going to be in heaven. You're not going to be together.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that woke me up. That moment then, I said, I'm gonna survive this. I'm gonna see her again. I can't wait till she meets Tommy. I can't wait for that day.
And let me ask you another question. You can talk about this. I know you talk about it constantly. How did you find out the next?
Oh my God, it was horrible. I was like, it was like a Tuesday night,
and American Idol
was on. Yeah. And me and my roommate were gonna go downtown to this gay club, our gay friends, and have a martini. Well, I was driving down there, and I got to Arlington, and something weird hit me. I go, you know, Meg, I don't feel real good. Do you mind if we turn around and go back? I just want to go home.
So this was like a mother's intuition thing.
Yeah, it was weird. Well, I got a pedicure, and I got an infected toe, and I just wasn't feeling up to it.
Something
came over me. Meanwhile, she already committed suicide during this period. And earlier that day, I met with my lawyer and went out to lunch with him. So my family drove to the restaurant where I had lunch. I didn't know all this was going on. I went back to the condo. I could hear helicopters and all these noises because I only lived a mile from them. Little did I know it was at my old house. I mean, and I get a call from my brother. I was laying there. I had the fireplace going. I was watching American Idol. My roommate was getting ready to go out with her boyfriend, and all of a sudden my brother Mark called me and he said, I'm so sorry, Nicole took her life tonight. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
So he thought you already knew.
He already thought I knew. Wow. I didn't know.
Wow, that's a real
because my whole family was driving all over the area because they came to the apartment, I wasn't there. They called, you know what I mean, the house, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
The police were telling them, don't call my cell phone because I could be on the road. So my family went crazy, which I can understand. You're in shock. Let's find Susie.
Yeah.
Greg was driving all over the county looking for me. Everybody was panicked. And here I was on 66 coming back home, and I was in my condo the whole time.
And you were a mile from them. Unbelievable.
It was...
I don't know what I would be able to do. I don't know how I would handle
it. I would not wish this tragedy on anybody, man. It sucks. It's not a shameful thing. It happened to me. I have to deal with it. I have to be a strong person.
You know what I don't like, though? I don't like what happened to you right after the incident when Nicole took her life. When you would go to a Starbucks or something and people would look at you and point at you and go, hey, that's the one who...
I had to move out of town. I had to totally move out of town.
See, that's disgusting.
Because one day, and this was... Nicole took her life during us Catholics during our Lent.
Right.
You're not allowed to bury anyone during Lent. So it's like a week and a half or whatever. It was the longest funeral in my life, you know, because, you know, you had to go to the funeral home, you had to go to the mall and pick out her clothes.
Wow.
The whole thing is sick. So my friends all came in. They were all staying in my two-bedroom condo. They were sleeping on the floors and everything. We were getting drunk as shit. We were drinking wine. We were laughing. Anything to numb us from the reality of what is going to happen to us.
Yeah.
Just the week went on, and I just didn't think it was going to end. But I got to be honest with you, Tom, the flowers and the gifts I was getting, flowers were lined all the way down my hallway of my condo. People were sending baskets. I couldn't even remember the shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sending tons of food. I mean, my condo was packed. The hallway was packed. People were amazing. There are some really good people, but there are real motherfuckers out there.
Yeah.
I went to get my some type of shampoo. I walked into a hairdressing salon. I walked in, and you swear to God, a ghost walked in. Every hairdresser turned around and stared at me. I was like, okay.
See, it's a good thing that you weren't with me at that point in time, because I would have lost it. You know me. I don't deal with that
stuff. Well, the owner came up to me, and she grabbed me, hugged me, and she goes, I'm so sorry. We all are grieved by your daughter's death. She used to get her hair done here. And we heard she was pregnant. I went, what? I go, no, she wasn't pregnant.
Kind of bullshit. You know what I mean? Started,
but at least doubt in your brain, Tom, because it takes a while for the autopsy to come back. And I was like, she wasn't pregnant. Well, I went home and called the medical examiner. I was shaken, you know?
Yeah.
And the medical examiner, this lady was a sweetheart. You know, she said, no, Susan, your daughter wasn't pregnant.
Yeah.
Your daughter wasn't on drugs.
So the rumors were
no alcohol. Nothing that people would think would cause a suicide, you know?
It was the bipolarism.
She was bipolar, and she was also on some psych medication that the psychiatrist gave her. Well, if you look into that medication, 6 weeks to the day, it causes depression and suicide. She committed suicide. I blame it on the medication, the boyfriend, my ex-husband, myself. There's many factors to this child's death. It didn't happen overnight.
Yeah, but that's,
you know,
something that I never understood either, and that's something I wanted to talk about. You know, we really ran over time, but I don't care. We're going to finish this conversation real quick. You know, when you go to a psych medical institute or something like that and they medicate you, most of the time the medication they're giving you has a side effect of what?
Suicide.
So where do they get off giving you this kind of medicine unless you're under a constant watch?
I'm telling everybody who listens to this, never. I thought I was doing the right thing. I go, oh, finally, someone's listened to me. She's bipolar. She's cutting herself. I mean, I'm putting her in here. You're going to make her better, just like hospitals make you better. She learned everything from that psych. They had kids that cut themselves. They had the suicide kids. They had the overdose. And they hung out like children of the corn in that psych unit.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Yeah, I think we should look into that medication thing once more. And you know what? We're going to end it like this. Do you have any kind of tips for a parent that has a young child at home or a teenage child, how to communicate and how to understand what's going on in their head?
One thing I have to say, stand your ground, which I did. In the end, I got punished for it. But still stand your ground. Don't let them abuse your house, your home, yourself, because it rips you apart. Stand your ground, but quit your fucking job and watch that child 24/7.
And what if they can't? What if they're like a single parent?
A single parent? You gotta do what you gotta do, Tommy. There's not much you can do. Keep on fighting and fight for full custody so you can get control. You know, when you deal with a bipolar child, it's so much easier when they're at your husband's house and not underneath you. I used to feel relieved, like, fuck, I don't have to deal with that mood or the bullshit and whatnot. I look back at it now. I should have done opposite. I should have pulled her more closer to me. There's many things that we all say.
Yeah,
you know?
But hindsight is always 20. You can't blame yourself for this because you didn't do it.
Well, she didn't kill herself over me and her fucked up fucking retarded dad. That piece of shit needs a rotten hell.
Well, just for clarification, too, I want this to come from your mouth. When she was in the psych center and they were taking care of her there and medicating her, what did they tell the father not to do?
Leave her alone.
And what did he do?
He left her alone.
Didn't he sign her out?
He signed her out on a Friday, okay? Or it was a Thursday. Let her go back to school. She cussed out a security guard in school. Got suspended. She was supposed to go down to Florida for the softball tournament. Got suspended from the tournament. I never knew this. Nothing. It was her birthday weekend and everything. I never knew any of this. He would never communicate with me. Left her alone that Monday morning to work. I called her that Monday because she came over to my house that Sunday and we celebrated her birthday. Left her alone that Monday. I called her the night before she killed herself. And I go, Nicole, don't forget you have to see a doctor about your problem and this and that. And she sounded really down. My, I'm really tired. I don't want to talk right now. And I go, no, yeah, but Nicole, you got to follow. Well, Dad's going to make the appointment for me. And I go, okay, well, keep me updated. I love you, you know? And the next day she took her life.
Unbelievable.
You know, well, when she started going through this, I was worried about suicide because I was hearing it all around me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She sat down on my bed and said, Mom, I would never do it because I would never hurt you out of all people. Well, guess what? You know what I mean? She ended up doing it, you know? It's hard.
Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and end it here. If you want to, we can continue this on the next one. Everybody, thanks for listening to the Tom and Susie Show.
Good night, everybody.
And say a prayer for your kid.
Exactly, and hold them close.
All right, take care, guys.
Ciao.